And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in Colorado, and was homeschooled myself in the 1960s and 1970s when homeschooling wasn't quite as cool as it is today. However, there's still a challenge for so many homeschooling moms and dads as they launch out into this new life called homeschooling, in which we bring our children home. We begin to re-relationalize the home and reintegrate the home, and we begin to establish more relationships, and there are some increasing challenges, whether it be relational or academic. There are all these challenges that face the homeschooling parents who generally are not the professionals. Some people say don't try this at home, but we are going to try it at home, and it's not always the easiest thing that we do. And so we're going to talk about the reality of what it is to homeschool your own children emotionally, spiritually, academically. What are the challenges that face the homeschool? And with me is Karen DeBuse. She has written a book called Called Home, Finding Joy and Letting God Lead Your Homeschool. Karen will be speaking at the Bible Conference in Washington, D.C. coming up this August. And she has been speaking around the country. She has four children. She's been homeschooling for about 13 years now. And Karen now joins me. Welcome, Karen. It's good to have you on the Generations broadcast.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your homeschooling journey, Karen? First, why did you start, and what were the challenges that you faced at the beginning?
Okay. Well, we have a really exciting story because it's just such a testimony of what God can do when you completely surrender to Him. Because I did not want to homeschool, and I actually didn't really know very much about homeschooling back when we started. And what happened was I was going to put my daughter, at the time she was my oldest, she was turning five, and she had gone to a little preschool program at our church, which looking back was basically like a glorified homeschool because it was just a family and it was like a co-op type of thing. And so she did that, and then the next natural thing to me was we would put her in the local public school, which was right around the corner from our home. And so I went to register her for that, and so she was just turning five, and I walked into the school, and something happened to me. And looking back on it, I know that it was God, but at the time, I didn't know what was going on, because here I was with her, my other little ones in tow, had all the papers ready to sign her up, and when I walked into the building, I literally felt almost sick. Like, I just got this whole big feeling of she's not going here. And it was very confusing because I didn't know why I was feeling that way. And I left there, and I talked to some friends, and what they said was, oh, that's the first-time jitters. Everybody gets that. And I was like, I don't think that's what this is. You know, it didn't feel like that. And so part of me wrestled with it for a little while. I ended up signing her up just because I didn't know what all was standing there online, signed her up, but the whole time I thought, well, she's not going here. And so for a few days I thought, well, maybe this is just, maybe this is just the first time jitters. Maybe that's what it is. But I knew that there was more to it. And so I spoke to my husband, and he said, well, let's pray about it. And wouldn't you know it, all of a sudden I started running into people that would talk to me about homeschooling, or somebody at church would mention homeschooling, and they would say, well, if you're having, you know, second thoughts about sending Grace to school, why don't you consider homeschooling? And my reaction, just to be completely honest, was like, no, that's not for us. Because I honestly, at that time, I was just ignorant. I really didn't have a lot of exposure to it. And honestly, back then compared to now, I feel like it's just so different. There's so many more. I mean, I go everywhere and see homeschoolers now. So,
did you have certain preconceptions about homeschooling that turned you off on it?
I absolutely did. I would be completely honest with you to say that I did. I think I kind of admired it. See, I thought, you know, I was saw on TV or things like that and thought, well, that's really cool for those people, but I'm not really as organized or disciplined or, you know, all those things. And so what I did was I started to realize that this homeschool thing kept coming up, and a woman at church invited me over, and she was a homeschool mom, and she had me over for lunch, and her children were there, and they served us lunch, and I just so got a feeling like, this is really, I love this. Like, her kids are here, and you know, she was just explaining all of it to me, and it sounded like such a great thing. So I went to the library at the time, and I laugh about this now because I didn't run to the internet and try to research, you know, and I went to the library where there were 5 books about homeschooling, and I took them out, and I read through them all, and I really started to think this is a great idea. However, this is where it gets interesting. My mother has worked in public school her entire life, and at the time, I knew that telling her would be very difficult, and it was. My husband and I, we were completely feeling like God is leading us to do this. However, I kept saying, well, I feel like this is what we should do, but I would just stop short of it because I was like, I just don't want to cause a big thing. I don't want to cause conflict. But yet I knew I couldn't put her in school. After everything I started reading and everything I started reading in scripture, I just knew that this is what I had to do. So we confronted them, and as bad as I thought it would be, my parents, we confronted them, as bad as I thought it would be and as angry as I thought they would be, it was far worse.
Oh, wow.
And yes, and this always surprises people when I talk about this story at conventions, but they will say, and now you'll hear how wonderful things have changed, but at the time they were like, you will not do this. You will ruin our family. So her preconceived notions came from what she was seeing in public school, and she said, I'm seeing kids come into school that were homeschooled and maybe they hadn't done it well. And so that was all she knew about it. She didn't have much experience with it other than a negative one. And I just kept saying, you know, this is where God is calling us. Now, for them, that kind of went over their heads because at that time their faith wasn't really where mine was. So I just kept saying, I'm sorry, but this is what God is calling me to do. And I would read the scriptures and I would feel like, you know, everything I would read would be like, you have to obey God and not man. And I would say, I get it, God, but these are my parents, you know, like, I don't want to have this be a relationship problem. So I decided I would do it for 1 year, like many homeschoolers, I think, start out. And I said, I'll just, you know, do it for 1 year. Okay, God, I'll obey you for this 1 year. I don't know what I was thinking, but I said, we'll do it for this 1 year. And we knew, like, right from the beginning, this is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So it was a really difficult journey. So I didn't want to, in the fact that I didn't want to sort of cause this rift in our relationship, which I did. There was a big rift for a very long time. My parents were very upset. And so over the years, obviously, I never stopped homeschooling. I started really getting involved in the homeschooling community, started speaking about homeschooling and doing all these things. And a couple of years back, my parents accompanied me to one of my trips to speak in Atlanta, and I was completely shocked. They sat in on every session, and when it was over, they said to me, this is the best thing you could ever do for your family. There is nothing else you should be doing. And now they are not only accepting of it, they're the biggest fans. They tell everybody how wonderful homeschooling is. So I go back to, you know, obeying God, even when you don't want to, even when it's not comfortable, and knowing that His plan is far better. So the academics are great, and all of that stuff is great, but to see the transformation in our family and in my parents has just been such a blessing.
What are the dimensions to the calling, Karen? How does somebody know that they're called to homeschool? What were the things that played into it for you?
I think, and people ask me that as well, you know, how do you know if you're called? And I can't tell somebody, you know, I feel like I believe homeschooling is 100% what we should be doing, what I feel is the right thing to do. However, you know, I say that you have to go to God. It's not between what I tell you and, you know, what to do, but you have to go to God, because that summer, when I look back at my decision, there is no way I would have done this or stepped out to do this without a strength. And so I know without a doubt that it was a calling. Number one, because when I searched the scriptures that summer, I knew everything I was reading was God leading me to this decision. We just immersed this whole decision in prayer. And that's what I tell people when you're saying it's a calling, you won't know if it's a calling if you're not in a relationship with God and you're not reading His Bible and you're not conversing with Him to hear the voice. You know, I'm not saying you're going to hear that audible voice, but you're going to know that this is what He's calling you to do. So when somebody is hesitant about a decision or they're not sure if that's what their calling is, it seeks support. He is the only one that can give you that confirmation.
Mm-hmm. It seems that faith plays a very important role in your book. You speak of relying on him alone, keep your eyes on him. You refer to Peter, you know, getting out of the boat, walking on the water. It's a real faith journey, and that's the way it's been for you as well. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, yes. There were so many times where, you know, even that first year, well, I should say the second year. The first year went pretty smoothly. I mean, it was kindergarten, right?
Yeah.
So it went pretty smoothly. But what happened to me was that first year I realized I went from, I don't want to do this, we'll just try it out, to, wow, I think this is great. And what happened was that first year I entered into it with such a childlike faith. Because when I tell you before, like, I didn't have a lot of experience or I didn't know a lot about it, it was almost, looking back, it was that childlike faith that I can almost wish to go back to sometimes. Because this woman who had me over for lunch, she handed me her kindergarten curriculum and she was like, well, if you're going to homeschool, you can have our kindergarten curriculum. We're finished with it. And I was like, oh, okay, great, thanks. Here we go. We're set. And another friend said to me, oh, that's what you're using? You didn't know there's other options? You didn't know there's a convention or a catalog? You know, and I was like, no. I just figured she used it. This would be fine. And so I had that childlike faith knowing, like, well, God is calling me. I wasn't putting all of my faith in a curriculum or in the method I was choosing or in what others were saying. So that second year, when I started to realize, oh, there's a whole community out there. There's the internet, there's, you know, books and articles and blogs and all these things telling me how to do it. I started to take my eyes off of God. And I started to put my faith in all of those things and think, well, if I just get the perfect curriculum, if I just get the perfect schedule, then we'll be, you know, like those homeschoolers that I see. You know, I just wanted to kind of copy that. And it was like, I had to go back at one point in my journey and say, no, God called me to this when I was completely blinded by what I was getting into. And that's the beauty of it, because I had that childlike faith. So I always go back to that beginning and I think, look what he did. And I talk about that a lot when I go to conventions, like, you know, homeschoolers, you know, I'm sure you can relate to this, of 30 years ago, they didn't have all that stuff we have.
Mm-hmm.
You had to fully, they had to fully rely on God. And I worry about that for this generation, that there's so much out there, and that's why I do what I do with speaking and writing. There is so much out there that when we start to rely on all that stuff, not that it's not good, but when we start to rely on it and forget who is at the center of this journey, then we become completely losing our focus. And I say that because I did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see that I started to do that. I started to, and that's where I say I was like the one that was thinking. And at one point, I went and looked at the local Christian school. Because I thought, I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing this well. I'm going to fail my children. And then I had to go back and remember, no, God called me to this. And I will walk on that water because he will provide me the ability to do so.
Karen, I think that applies to so much of life, whether you're pastoring a church or whether you're homeschooling your kids or whether you're just living out the Christian life. Systems and recipes and formulas and institutions and professionals are always presented to us as, something we can depend on, and instead of looking to God. And it turns out life is way more complicated than any professional can ever, ever, ever deal with. And, raising children, hey, you know how it is raising children. They're all different and they've all got problems. Everybody's got a sin issue. And it's not like we're going to solve that problem by some recipe or formula. And so I think the life of faith, the just will live by faith, is just a maxim that we as Christians just have to go by. And if we don't, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So getting your eyes on Jesus, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, is so essential for whatever we're doing in the Christian life. And you know, the just will homeschool by faith, the just will raise their kids by faith, the just will do just about everything by faith. They will do everything by faith. And that's the lesson that I think we just have to learn, whether it be in, you know, 21st century America or Africa or anywhere else. Well, let's talk about the true goals. You have a chapter in your book on the goals of education. I think this is key, because if we get our eyes off the wrong objectives, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So what are the goals? What are the things we really want for our children?
My number one goal is that our families just lives out Matthew 6:33, so we seek Him first in everything. My goals are that I can say that I have done my best to instill in my children everything I can before they leave this home to know the Lord, that we have immersed them in our values and in the Bible, and everything else is secondary to that. And I talk about this a lot when I speak at conventions. It's not that I say, oh, well, academics aren't important. Like, as long as they, because I always say, I don't care if they can know every scientific fact out there and every math equation. If they don't know the Lord, then what does it matter? And it's not that academics aren't important, but I know that everything that we do is an outflow of our relationship with God. And so I believe that if I teach my children from early on to follow God, to love God, to obey God, then the academics fall into place because they want to do well. They want to work hard. You know, they want to please God. Mm-hmm. So then their academics will fall into place with that. Does that mean they're all going to go on to Harvard? No, but that's certainly not my goal. Mm-hmm. And so I know that for our family, there is nothing more important than their relationship with the Lord. And that's my responsibility to bring them up to know Him. And to point them to Him in everything, every day, all day long. And so the academics are important, but they're not my number one goal at all. It's, you know, like I said, right now we have our daughter is going to be finishing up her senior year. And there's always that question of, well, what's she going to do? What's she going to do? And I'm like, she's going to be doing exactly what she's been doing the past 17 years, following God wherever He leads her. And I don't know what that looks like yet. You know, I said, as long as we're in His will, then that's where we want to be. And because you get all these questions, is she going to college? Is she going to college? What's she going to do? And it's like, we're going to follow God. We are going to see what His plan is. And I just keep telling her, as long as we are in His will, then we are fine. We can't try to like figure it out and then ask Him to bless those plans. We follow Him, to seek Him, and let those plans unfold.
Let's talk about curriculum for just a moment, a subject near and dear to my heart. But I like the fact that you present something simple. Our founders were largely raised on the Bible and Pilgrim's Progress, you know, just the basic stuff. And yet in the modern world, we throw all these other things at our kids. And you know, we sometimes lose the core because we forget what is important. But you present the Bible as our main textbook. Do you really mean that?
Yes. No, we did that. What we did was for 1 year, we actually did that for like, we called it an experiment. And so we did for 1 year, we used, it was almost like a giant unit study. We found history. I mean, they were little at the time. So I'll say it wasn't like they were high school. They were little at the time. So we did history, science, geography, writing assignments, everything, reading out loud. Everything came from the passages that we were reading through the Bible, except math, I will say. We used the extra math because I didn't trust myself to supplement the whole Bible with math. So, I mean, to teach the whole Bible, you know, from the Bible. So we did use a math curriculum that year, but we, again, it was something I felt that God was leading me to do, and I really prayed about it, and I thought, well, how can I ruin the kids for 1 year? And actually, when I first started it, I said we were going to do it up till December, like from the beginning of the school year till December. And I said, I can't ruin them if we're in the Bible for like hours a day, right? Like, we can't possibly mess this up, and we'll just see how it goes. And so we did that up till December, and then after December, we continued on through the rest of the year going through the Bible, and we brought in other resources, you know, like from Answers in Genesis or things like that to sort of tie in what we were learning. But we literally based everything on the Bible that year. And it was our most amazing year that we've ever had homeschooling. And people ask me, then why don't you still do it? And I say, because it was a lot of work. And so it was a lot of planning on my part. And plus, I have almost three high schoolers now, one's in eighth grade. So they have their own things now. But what an amazing gift it was back then for our family, because that year my husband ended up losing his job in October, and we had started this in September, And we were like, God prepared us. He knew we would need to be in the Bible more than ever that year because it was such a difficult year. And he also was so gracious because I didn't spend any money on extra curriculum because we just had that. So I was like, wow, what provision that we didn't even know we would need. So we always look back on that year as it was so special. But even though we don't do that now, I certainly do use other curriculum and things like that. The Bible, obviously, is always the foundation and the main source and the main thing of everything we do. We always, you know, go back to the Bible. But it was an amazing year just to do that for 1 year.
Let's talk about the bad days. I mean, obviously, everybody has the good days and bad days, the ups and downs. How do the homeschooling moms prepare for the rough times?
I think one of the most important things to do to prepare for a bad day is just to expect them.
Okay.
I think a lot of us do it and think, like, when we get a bad day and the kids aren't, you know, the house is a wreck or the kids aren't cooperating or you're just not in the mood, right? You just don't feel like doing it one more time. And I think what happens is we get surprised by that. Why aren't the kids obeying today? Why is the house a mess? Instead of preparing ourselves and equipping ourselves and knowing that in homeschool, in life, in anything, there are going to be seasons and there are going to be tough times. And some seasons are much more difficult than others. So number one, preparing for them, knowing that you're going to have times that are rough. Because I think with the internet and all these things out there now, we all have these expectations in our head that it's supposed to look a certain way all the time. And we have to really recognize that sometimes part of the learning and part of the journey and part of the growing is going through those difficult times, going through those hard seasons, because that's where we come out on the other side and see how God works through those difficulties. So obviously, number one would be to expect it and not be surprised. And then equipping yourself for bad days by always going back to your... I encourage families sometimes to have their goals written out or maybe even a family mission statement. Going back to that and remembering why you're here in the first place. And I always will go back to that beginning time and remember that this is what God has called me to do. And I sometimes equate it to like a missionary, right? They're going out to a third world country. They don't go out and say, this is going to be so easy and comfortable and you know, we can't wait to get into danger. They know that God is equipping them for that mission, and that's the same thing with homeschooling. We can't expect it to be comfortable and easy all the time. So we need to be equipped and knowing that our equipping only comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from ourselves. We get through those bad days when we rely on Him, when we lean on Him, when we seek Him for all of it, instead of putting it on ourselves of, why can't we get everything done? Why can't we do this? You know, saying, okay, Lord, I can't, but you can.
And as a homeschooling dad, I can say that there are days in which I just really need to come alongside my wife and pray with her. Sometimes when I realize the day is going to be really rough, I'll spend 30 minutes to an hour praying with Brenda in the bedroom before we go out and face the world together. So, you know, I think just realizing, as you said, Karen, that you're going to have a bad day, and it, you know, you can just sense you're approaching the big tsunami waves. You know, they're coming. You can hear the number six rapids just down the river, and you just have that sense that there's going to be a little more spiritual pushback, and you know, you're going to be up against the principalities and powers today. Just being ready to pray, take that extra time to pray together. Instantly, I've got to prioritize prayer over everything else going on in the day. And when I do that, we make it. You know, we can get through those rapids. And I find prayer is a real important part of that.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the other things I encourage women is to get in the Word first thing in the day. And when you set your mind on things above, it makes it so much easier than to deal with the things below. And, you know, a lot of, especially young moms or moms with children will say, well, I just don't have time in the morning. And I'm like, well, it's not that you need to be having this big study time in the morning, but you need to be getting that truth in your mind first. And that goes in saying with what you said with praying as well. Because then you're able to deal with all of those things that are going to come at you. Because I tell moms, if you're starting out your day and you're looking at your phone or your email or your internet or your Facebook, and you haven't even been in God's Word yet. You've already filled up your mind with so many other things that don't take precedence over His truth. And when your mind is filled with His truth, it becomes so easier than to, you know, combat those hard things that are going to come through the day. So definitely praying, absolutely, that is a, you know, it's necessary. Mm. And along with filling your mind with truth. Even I tell moms, if you don't have time, if you have all these little ones, you can put God's Word on your phone to read to you. You know, you can have an audio Bible so that you have these truths that you can meditate on, or put scripture throughout your house so that you can focus on the truth.
I love that passage in the Gospels where Jesus is praying all night. The disciples are rowing as hard as they can to try to get across the Sea of Galilee. He walks across the water, gets in the boat, and immediately they're on the shore. And, you know, that's really key. And people say, well, if you spend an hour in the Word and prayer on a hard day, it's just going to put you an hour behind. Actually, it won't, because you're inviting Jesus into the boat, and things just go a lot better when Jesus is in the boat with you, you know?
Yes, I completely agree. That's so funny. Yes, it's so true. Exactly. Yeah. It's the same thing with schooling. You know, I would say always with the kids when they were in the earlier years, we always would put the Bible first. And I would, you know, cause in the first couple of years, I would think to myself, oh, well, I can't do the Bible because we have to do math. We'll just get to it later.
Yeah.
No, we do the Bible. And if we don't get to math, then God has something else for us. And I truly believe if we put Him first, God will make time for the math later. So it's just like what you said.
And that's the life of faith. That's the faith journey we're talking about, friends, as we raise our children and as we consider homeschooling our children. The book is called Home, Finding Joy and Letting God Lead Your Homeschool. And the book is written by Karen DeBuse, and she will be joining us at the conference in Washington, D.C. It's the Bible Family Conference in Washington, D.C., sponsored by Generations. And that's coming up August 10th and 11th. For more information, just go to generations.org. Karen, thanks so much for joining us on Generations. It's been inspiring. I hope it's been a huge encouragement to the moms that are listening.
Thank you for having me.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. If you'd like to interact with the radio program, email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.